Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a-goin' dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Thank you. game is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office, and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
You're listening to Shaziz Radio. Hope you're all doing well out there. These are some exciting times we're living in today. So, what's going on out there in the world? Well, first up, in the free energy world, free energy has been solved. Old Keshi out there is releasing all of his information and his designs to give the world free energy. And we have UFOs up behind the moon, so the aliens are here. The Earth is flat, and Raymond's making alcohol from donuts. So, Anyway, the Keshi Foundation out there, Space Natives, has a video out there. I posted some links in the chat room over there at www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. And I posted some links for a video where Keshi's doing a basically a show to release all these different units that are for alternative energy. Now, of course, he says that these aren't generators at this point in time. The generators will be next, but these here are like transformers that after you run them on your house for about 3 weeks, you start to notice that your electric bill will reduce and such. And there's also a bunch of other exciting claims that he makes as well, as such that you can take one orange and turn it into enough to feed an entire country and such. So, you know, he's using a lot of technology there. He's got technology for healing. He's got technology for feeding everybody. He's got technology for alternative free energy, and basically based on his version of plasma. So it's exciting. So we can all give up now and walk away from the table if we're searching for free energy, because the quest is finally finished. Keshi has done it. And on the UFO side of the story is that apparently there are three huge ships hiding behind the moon at this present time. The aliens are here. And they're all working together with Stephen Greer and his crew out there to attempt to make communication with them. And so we're going to be able to peacefully meet the aliens and such. And on down into more worldly news. 200 Proofs Earth is Not a Spinning Ball video book by Eric DeBay. So if you listen to this right here, you're going to find out that the Earth is indeed flat, and that you have been lied to all your life and such. And so it's very interesting to listen to all the different 200 reasons why the Earth is not a spinning ball. So personally, I don't care whether the Earth is flat or round or square or triangle or octangle or you know, a bowl shape or flat circle, whatever. Nah, it doesn't matter to me. All I think about is that we need to make this world a better place somehow or some other, and I'm going to continue my research and alternative energy until, you know, Keshi's free energy device makes it around the world and basically takes everybody off the power grid and benefits society and feeds the world and such. I hope that that's the case. I hope that he's not out there pulling people's leg and that kind of stuff, and that the you know, device that he claims to be helpful as far as you know, physical health and such, I hope that it's right. You know, and so he's had a bunch of ambassadors. They had a big meeting, and they got all these ambassadors together, and they put all these devices in the hands of individuals that are supposed to take them back to their governments, and then the governments are supposed to share them with the world. Of course, now in this second video that I watched of his on his YouTube channel there, the Space Institute. apparently the Chinese kind of stuck it to him on that deal. They took the gizmo and ran with it or whatever. I don't know. There's some sort of drama going on right now. So the people out there who normally hide all the information from the general public are already at it. And so, you know, he's got to watch out and make sure that he's safe and that government agents don't try to whack him, and that you out there can build your own using the USB stick that he's going to release in less than 10 days now. And you will have all the information that you need to know how to build the plasma reactor that he designed there, and the units that he even gives you the option to become a distributor or a manufacturer of the device, and all you have to do is deliver it to the world in peace. So, alternative free energy has been solved, and I can take a nap. I'm glad. So, moving back down over there to Stephen Greer's UFO, there's a lot of exciting stories and pictures in that particular video that show you, different things going on. And apparently, if you gather together and meditate, you can get these UFOs to show up in the desert and talk with you and such, and all kinds of exciting news on that. And basically, the man... he tells a really good story, man. So, you know, either one, two things. Either he's like a really impressive storyteller, or maybe making it up as he goes. I don't know. Well, we'll soon find out if the aliens, kind of present themselves and say, look, we're here, you know. We're here to give you technology. Apparently, according to them, the reason why we haven't got any further than the moon, if we even went to the moon, according to the same kind of story there, is that, we're kind of like locked in this little zone, and we can't go very far. They won't allow us to go very far because we're like Neanderthal apes and stuff, we fight amongst each other and bomb each other, so we can't, they won't let us go any farther out there. Of course, he said that we couldn't go any farther than the moon, but yet NASA claims to have gone all the way to Mars and Pluto and such. So, the aliens kind of let us, NASA, slide by there to go out there and take a peek around and all that kind of jazz there. Apparently, behind the scenes, the government's got all kinds of flying saucers and teleportation devices that they've been using for years, way back in the 50s and such, and really exciting story to listen to the man talk. So, if you get an opportunity, go over there and click on that link in there and listen to Stephen Greer and the UFOs and the Keshi Foundation out there. About the free energy that's been provided to the world, and if you get an opportunity to go down there and click on the link for 200 Proofs Earth is Not a Spinning Ball video book by Eric Dubay. So you'll find out that this whole world isn't exactly what you thunk it was, and all that kind of jazz. And so now you're going to be enlightened and educated to everything from free energy to UFOs to Flat Earth Society. And my buddy Raymond is making donuts, taking donuts and making alcohol. So there's a good deal right there. You know, there's a plausible deal that you could take that alcohol and use it for fuel to run certain things. You know, an internal combustion engine and such. So I'm kind of thinking I'm going to go down and keep an eye on Raymond's process making the alcohol from the donuts, and the rest of that stuff at the top of the list right there, I'll just kind of keep my eye on as well to see how it all turns out. Hopefully Keshi's correct and he's got all this information for the people of the world, and he's giving it freely to them. Tells all the people of the world they have 10 days to ensure that this is begin to be distributed to through every single household in the world to all the poor people, so that they can not only have electricity when they need it, but healing and other benefits to this deal as well. So, hey, we finally reached it, finally reached the ultimate there. We got everything that we need in society to make this world a better place. So I'm excited and I'm happy, and hopefully all the thousands of dollars that people have put into the Keshi Foundation as a investment worthy of all their time and effort, so to speak. And as far as the alien I can't necessarily say invasion because they talk about coming in peace and such like that, but I have to be very cautious because I did see the movie Mars Attacks. You know, when the Martians came down from Mars in the movie Mars Attack, they said, and I quote, ack, which loosely translated via the device that they made inside the movie means that we come in peace, right before they started shooting everybody. So they shot the peace doves, and they shot the people all over the place, and, you know, they didn't necessarily come in peace, and then there was a portion in the movie where they figured out a way to destroy the aliens by playing this really crummy song from the old days. I can't even remember what the name of that song was. You just have to go watch the movie Mars Attacks and get you a MP3 copy of that specific song just in case these aliens come down here and they're violent. If they're violent, then you play that song on a loudspeaker and their brains will explode because it's a terrible song and they won't be able to tolerate that. And then, you know, if that doesn't work, you could always fall back to the day the Earth stood still and go up and sneeze on the aliens because our germs will do them in as well. So there's things that should be noted and considered for your safety purposes. And moving right down along the line back down to the 200 Proofs Earth is Not a Spinning Ball video. Apparently we're in a giant fish bowl surrounded by ice, and if you go to the Antarctic and try to go any further down there, there are six or so major countries out there that will hold you at bay at gunpoint, will not allow you to go any further, even though the Antarctic is supposedly a frozen wasteland. Nobody can fly over it, nobody can go to explore it, and the last person that ever went down there to explore it was Admiral Byrd. And there's a lot of stories behind that where Admiral Byrd says that there is another continent out there in the middle of all that ice. So according to the Flat Earth Society, ice, the Earth is flat and infinite, and it goes on to, we're in one little pond, and there's another Earth in another little pond all the way down, a whole bunch of multiverses all the way down on the same plane of existence. There are many, many other societies out there that are all on the same flat plane. And so, with that said, if you can get past the ice, you can go down and see the ancients from times of the Egyptians who built the pyramid and those folks who propped up the Easter Island statues, and you can ask them, you know, how they did it, what tools they used and such. And, you know, check it out. Say hi to them. You know, invite them over for a barbecue on your side of the flat earth plane. You know, these are all exciting times, like I said, because, you know, there's everything's been, it's total disclosure. You know, we got aliens coming out there. We've got free energy. We've got the true shape and dimensions of the Earth, and we know that now we have access to a vast amount of technology, and so, you know, hey, when the aliens get down here, we will be able to grill a hamburger instantaneously with the best taste and spices you could ever imagine, because they have perfected everything over the thousands of years that it took them to get here from millions of light years away. So, they're up behind the moon. Maybe if you keep your eye on the moon, you can kind of scoot over every once in a while and see if you can sneak a peek as one of those motherships drifts over to the side and get a good photo to share with your friends and such. It's exciting times we live in. And moving on back down the list there, we got Raymond making alcohol from donuts. See, now there's a plausible piece of science right there. You got yeast, you got sugar, you got alcohol. All you have to do is cook it up and allow it to ferment and such, and then you could use that alcohol for fuel. So, where Raymond is more grounded in his science, such as being able to figure out how to make alcohol from a waste product that normally folks would just up and throw away, and now it's turning into something good. So I'm gonna check on here. Let me see who wants to come in here. I'm checking in the Mad Science chat room out here on Skype. If you want to contact me, it's as simple as add me as a contact on Skype. And it's the same username, S-H-A-Z-I-Z-Z. You're listening to Shaziz Radio. So I'm going to try to... I'm sitting here typing. Sometimes I can't talk. And do-do-do-do-do-do. Waiting for everybody to show up. Anyway, hopefully I'll have a friend of mine on there, Zeros Eccentrist, a friend I just met out here on YouTube, into alternative energy and science and stuff. So, we got a lot of exciting news going on out there. And so, if you get a chance to go over there to shazizradio.com/superchat.html, check out the links. You might have to scroll back up in the chat room. There's a link there, and I put on there Keshi Fraud question mark. Why would I do such a deed, such as putting Keshi Fraud on there? Well, in my experience with actually talking to these individuals out there and listening to the science of it all, it it's questionable at to say the least. Hopefully everything he says is right and it all works, and if you are of the right mind and you get your reactor to your house, you'll have free energy and all that kind of stuff, and make sure that you are in a good loving state and peaceful, and you'll have all the free energy you could want. He also had mentioned in there that if you had an enemy, you could actually send one of these to your enemy. One of two things. It's either going to make your enemy sick, or it's going to make your enemy love you. Yeah. Alright, well, anyway, so if you put an orange on top of a glass with one of these smaller devices that they got, then you can take the orange and set it on the glass, and you can make the water take all the nutrients from the orange, and it'll taste like orange juice, and it will give you all the vitamins from the orange, but yet the orange that is on top of the glass will still remain the same. And you can do this over and over and over again and let everybody drink from the same glass, and they will all get the same benefits from the same orange forever until the orange rots and tastes like, nasty or something. Then you don't want to use the same orange. You just get a fresh orange and put it on the glass and get some more orange juice out of it. So you take this gizmo here, and then he's also got a nifty looking pin little gizmo that if you got pain on your body, that all you have to do is take this and put it over the pain spot and turn it on and hold it there for a few seconds and such, and then your pain will go away, or at the very least drastically reduce the pain in your hand or your leg or your knees or whatever. So he's cornered the market in saving the world. He's got the free food. He's got the free medicine. He's got the free energy. And he has the free technology to allow you, the individual, to travel through space. So this is the miracle gizmo of all gizmos. It is the information out there free for the world that he is releasing to all the governments of the world and to all the individuals of the world, second, so that everyone has an opportunity to enjoy and benefit from this this device. And of course, you know, the technology is growing, and you can help the technology to grow by helping to design, and you can join the Spaceship Institute, and you can go over there and be part of the team and help to raise money and manufacture and distribute and such like that to speed up the process of making sure that every single household in the world has this unit that they can benefit from. So the free energy, alternative medicine, alternative to just about everything, including space travel, is there for you to take advantage of. So check out that video, get in contact with Keshi there, MT Keshi, I guess they call him. He's like a, supposedly a doctor or physicist and whatever, you know. So yeah, check that out there and buy one of his units from his website and stuff, and tell me how that thing works. Or I'm kind of afraid to take and try to plug it in, because when you look at the doggone thing, it's a box, it's a blue box, and it has a 110 outlet cord on there, and the output of it's supposed to be anywhere from 12 volts to 120 volts to 240 volts. It's got DC and AC capabilities. You plug it into the wall and you run your appliances off of that. And after, say, 3 weeks of use, the nano coating inside of the unit basically nano coats your entire house and your appliances, all the copper in your house, and basically will now your other stuff will run on that as well. It will understand the energy that is coming in. Kind of reminds me of whenever you got a 12-volt car battery connected in your car and you don't do proper maintenance on it, and then you start to see all this green crud up there on your terminals, and then your battery eventually doesn't want to work right, and you got to take and clean off the green corrosion off there. And if you don't get it soon enough, the green corrosion will pretty much eat into your wiring and, you know, cause it to break off, and you'll get a short and it won't work and such. So I don't know. There's some stuff, material called GANs that you need to create using zinc and copper and some sort of caustic material or salts. And I believe the electrolysis process kind of helps to speed it up. And you basically nano coat your copper and stuff. And anyway, when it's all said and done, you get this nifty green goo that you coat all your appliances that you wish to run off of this specific unit, or the inside of your reactors that are supposed to give you the anomalies such as levitation and such. It's exciting news. And on the Stephen Greer UFO section again, there are supposedly some technologies coming out of this as well that will change the world as you and I know it. It will basically, the information that the aliens have brought to us from vast distances across time and space have delivered to us not only healing properties, but free energy as well. So we have everything that we need from Keshi Foundation and Stephen Greer's UFO Disclosure Project. And, you know, to top that all off, and slightly controversial, with the three that don't necessarily match up as very well, because one talks about space, the other talks about space, and the other talks about the flat Earths. section of the deal there. So, who knows? We're going to get there soon enough. We'll figure out what's going on. In the meantime, I'm going to continue my research, and Raymond will be making alcohol from donuts. I will be following that process to see how it comes out. I'm positive that he will be very successful in his endeavor, because I have seen how to make alcohol before, and he's pretty much got all the ingredients in there, and it's a brilliant idea, because the ingredients in a donut are already there, ready to mix. Really don't think you'd even have to add any sugars or anything to it. So the more sugar you add, the more alcohol you'd get, as far as I understand it. But either way, that's mad science in its finest. And if you can get some pretty high potency of alcohol there, you could actually use that for fuel in a internal combustion engine by modifying the jets just a bit there. You know, there is a bunch of people out there that make alcohol-burning go-karts that are pretty doggone fast, man. I've rode one in little alcohol-burner go-karts. Those things get right along. So, let me see what we got going on there. How in the heck did he get in there? Alrighty then. Well, folks, I'm going to take a quick music break and see what's going on out here. First, I got to find me a tune to put up in there. It's exciting news over at ShazizRadio.com, so everybody go over there, check out those links, check out the videos, and we'll be back. You're listening to Mad Science. Peace and love. Stay tuned.
Hey, Dr. Steele, look at my new trumpet.
Well, that is a fine trumpet, soldier. Wow, strong, healthy lungs. Soldier. Soldier! Soldier! Hello? Can you hear me? I'm getting another call. Listen, soldier, just keep playing the horn and I'll get back to you. Sorry about that. Quiet all day and then everyone calls at one time. Okay, let's see here. Tell me when you can hear me. How about now? Hello? Hello? Listen. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Listen to me. Listen to me, my children.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, children.
Gather around to hear the sound of the loud voice. There's girls and boys, well, you know you're the choice. And you can do what you say, so you can bite off my toys. Just keep on your head and jump around, make some noise. I never lied to you, you know I died for you. Yeah, I love you too.
Come on, show us some love. I'll be blowing you up. I'm blind and throwing at me. You get everything I need. I'll be what you want me to be. That's why I'm dancing, dancing.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Catch up on the news, some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoyed the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers had just taken modern objects and stuck on some gears.
It's simply not cricket, it shouldn't be done,
but it's clear how their thoughts had run.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on, I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy.
Heavens to Betsy, I'll end up on regretting.
Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name. Or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is slow for the worst.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Aw, crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Love a cup. I would... Oh, gorgeous. Oh, that is gorgeous. Yeah. I need a cup of the brown stuff, the shade of an acorn made warm by the same source that I take my cakes from. Using a teapot, a mug or fine china, been hooked up to IVs, need constant supplies, and a drip for my urges might verge on perverted, prefer the brown tea. I'm certain it's worth it. With Sherpas who work hers and use a fresh fountain, I've discerned brews from Peruvian mountains. I've slurped up a cup from an elephant's trunk with a couple of monks who are utterly stunk. I've had bourbons with sultans and creams with queens, and I've bathed in Earl Grey. I'm really that keen, and missionaries dismiss me for my single epiphany. The difference between him and me is a simple sip of British tea. So when times are hard and life is rough, you can stick the kettle on and find me a cup. Now when I say Earl Grey, you say yes please, Earl Grey,
yes please,
Earl Grey,
yes please.
lovely.
When I say Assam, you say lovely. Assam.
Lovely.
Assam.
Lovely.
When I say ooh, you say ah. Ooh. Ah. Ooh. Ah. Ooh. Ah. Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Gorgeous.
You're not wrong. Yeah. I've been around the world in 80 brews to see the place it takes me to make a brew that tastes like the cream cakes made by angels do. I'm not the same as you, get shaky but aim to swing amazing fluids but don't make it the same. Now using fine leaves picked by pretty maidens in a bag knitted by a seamstress who lives in Copenhagen, brewed up in a pot made of semi-precious metal. Let the blessed content settle in my very special kettle. Now when I say ooh, you say long. Ooh,
long.
Ooh,
long.
When I say herbal, you say no thanks. Herbal.
No thanks.
Herbal.
No thanks. No.
No, I want milk in it. Strong though. I want to see that spoon stand up.
If you're tired of tea, then you're tired of blood.
I'm madder than a hatter and it fires my mic. Liken me to Earl Grey, a Sam or Ginger. Lapsang, Souchon, raise my pinky finger. Keep your snorting coffee in a proper cup of coffee. Bottoms, coffee, loving teapot to your Ponzi rotten coffee shop. Coffee clocks nodding off, lost the plot, sodding off. Need some caffeine tannin and a Battenberg to top it off. Cut them off a different cloth, a different lot can take their beer. On 80 cups a day, I haven't slept for 80 years. You could say I'm mad for tea or just say I'm mad. Oh, you can't stay any longer. Oh, actually, I'm quite glad. All the more Battenberg for me. I can barely pour, my hands have got a bit shaky from caffeine. Oh, I love it though. I'd sell my own grandma for a cup. Well, I'd sell your grandma for a cup.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Turn it up.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Can you read? world's red dark seeds of eternal war. Far beyond the silent hall where meat is pain.
Right, you're listening to Shaziz Radio on Mad Science Hour. There, that last tune that you heard was from my new friend Zarius Eccentris there. How are you doing there, brother?
Good, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. It was this exciting world that we're living in today. You know, the whole free energy deal has been solved by Keshi, who is releasing all of his information. He gave the leaders of the world 10 days to begin to distribute all this to each and every individual out there. However, apparently what the last video that I seen of his, the Chinese kind of stuck it to him and ran. So they pretty much, didn't follow through with their deal. So apparently to him, you can't trust the Chinese anymore. So anyway, on further news, we just played your intro song there with the War of the Worlds, and that's one of the things that Stephen Greer.
War of the Universe.
Yeah, War of the Universe. That's one thing that Stephen Greer was talking about, that the reason why they won't socialize with us yet is because we are like Neanderthals running around fighting amongst each other and war and all that kind of stuff. So the only way they're going to talk to us is if, you know, we come in peace kind of thing there. You know, and there's three spaceships that are sitting right behind the moon as we speak, waiting for total disclosure, and we're all going to get to visit with the aliens. So we've got free energy with health benefits and space travel from Keshi. He says that the average Joe using his units can travel through space, so we'll get to go up there and see him as well. And moving right down along the line there, there's 200 Proofs Earth is Not a Spinning Ball video book by Eric Dubay. Now, I recommend that everybody listens to what Eric Dubay says and use a critical mind and think about things. And so here we got one big, massive amount of information for everybody to weed through. On a more down-to-ground note, I have my friend Raymond out there. There's a link posted in the superchat.html over on shazizradio.com. Somebody just put up another one, UFOs from Outer Space. But the one I was talking about, more grounded, alcohol from donuts. Raymond's taking day-old donuts and making alcohol. And, of course, he's not making it to drink. He's just making it to see if he can do it and possibly use it for fuel. So, whew, I got to take a breath. Well, you guys got any thoughts on all that?
Well, if he's making alcohol of donuts, at least he can use it for superconductor fuel.
Yeah, see? And we were talking, we had a really good conversation off air last night about, you know, zero point energy and such, and how to reclaim energy from everything, from a light bulb to, you know, whatever, you know. So, well, you got a thought, you got any thoughts on that matter there?
You can reclaim energy from anything that produces kinetic heat, light. Any source of energy can be converted back into energy, like the top portion of your light bulb. If you find a way to be able to like siphon that heat away from the light bulb, it not only keeps the light bulb cooler, but you siphon it up through a funnel into like thermal heat couples or thermal pads, thermoelectric pads. You can layer those pads in a cascade of a network heat sink, like a weave of heat sinks, where a heat sink goes over the top of the cold part of the pad, and a heat sink goes under the pad in the 90 degree angle to the other one, crisscrossing under, over, let's say 90 degrees over the top of the thermal pads, and 180 degrees under for one side to be heat and the ones over to be cold, and then you can layer another layer of heat sinks over that of thermoelectric pads on another
Yeah, I see what you're talking about. Does one of you guys got a radio playing in the background?
Yeah, I do that to keep my speakers going.
Oh.
Shut off automatically.
All right, well, those Peltier elements are pretty impressive for basically what you're talking about right there. Anyway,
you can do this from your processor. You could do this from working out, because there's kinetic energy. There's like gravity weight stored up inside those weights. You put all your energy into pushing them up, and like whatever has energy stored up into it, you could put that back into your electricity pool, reclaiming 80 to 100% of the energy you use in your home, making your home off the grid even, producing a tiny amount of energy, just a speck of amount of energy to keep it running nearly.
Yeah. Is there any way you could turn down that music on the background there?
I can.
All right, cool. Yeah, there's a whole lot of waste energy going on in just about everything you use out there these days. And to actually reach zero point, I still believe that's possible. But the research that I do. I don't try to defy the laws of physics. I don't try to find 0 point. I don't even try to find over unity. I just try to show everybody that energy is free because we're floating in a sea of it. And if you know how to use it properly and using their own laws of physics, so you're not even defying any laws of physics, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So essentially what you're talking about is basically recycling the energy. You know, if you're going to change the form of it from electrical energy to heat energy and then recycle that heat energy back into electricity, then essentially you took a light bulb and made it more efficient. Is that the correct way of explaining
it? That's one thing I make more efficient is the light bulb. I'm using the fact that energy cannot be destroyed to my advantage.
Yeah.
I made the light bulb more efficient. I made the computer more efficient because it produces heat. I've made the hot water tank more efficient. I've made your car more efficient. I've made every electrical device that you have, plus yourself putting energy into the energy pool. I made you more efficient because you could put electricity back into the energy pool yourself by working out and producing heat and such.
Yep.
Heat guns, soldering tools, you know, you could get heat from that. I've made smelts and forges more efficient. You name it, I've made it more efficient.
Well, on a different note, Barry was talking about this really extreme hurricane going on down there. What's your thoughts on that, Barry?
Well, the whole Pacific Ocean seems to be in turmoil right now. It's just, I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. I was looking at some computer images last night of the Pacific Ocean, and we've got four or five different hurricanes forming right now, two that are actually formed. We've got this massive one hitting Mexico right now, biggest one they've ever recorded, or within 10 miles an hour of the biggest one they've ever recorded in human history. So, man, oh man, all I can say is the Pacific Ocean, we are seeing a super El Nino right now in the Pacific Ocean. The estimates are that it's encompassing two-thirds of the water in the Pacific Ocean with a mean temperature rise of 4 degrees. That doesn't sound like a lot to people, but that is actually catastrophic. The effects it's going to have on our fish stocks, I can't even begin to tell you what it's going to do to our fish stocks, is this.
Well,
we're seeing some very, very serious stuff going on in the ocean right now, and people better start paying attention to it.
Yeah, this alternative energy talk that we've been talking about, a lot of these things, I feel like with this kind of storm going down, there's going to be a lot of power outages.
Is it a hurricane?
Who is there ever?
Yeah, it's a massive hurricane.
Now, you know how 200. Heat is below? You know how heat is below and the cold is above and they switch places to make these hurricanes happen? Imagine if before this hurricane formed, we sent like a team of jets with these little like devices on them, like these devices that we bomb in the cold portion of it, and the thing heats up the air as they fall, and then they spray out nitrogen cold on the hot, trying to make the hurricane less devastating.
Well,
what we're seeing right now, is got to be a direct correlation with the sea rise in temperature. I mean, it's unbelievable how much that the temperatures come up in the ocean. And I was talking to a couple people last night. I was actually talking to a guy up in Alaska last night about this, Shaziz, and they're seeing stuff right now this year in their fish stocks they've never seen before. Our salmon came in this year at all-time record low sizes. Our sockeyes came in at 4.5 pounds this year. Normally come in at about 7 to 8 pound average on our sockeye. Same thing with our coho, same thing with our springs. They all came in really, really small. Of course, that indicates a lack of food in the ocean. I could post you a link here that a couple of reports I read this week is about the incredible die-off of sea life in the Pacific Ocean. It's being documented now, and it seems to be accelerating. Now we got this hurricane happening. We've got all these hurricanes forming out in the ocean. The ocean's in turmoil right now, and people really got to start paying attention to it.
Well, and I agree. I mean, we talked about on a previous show all these massive die-offs going on all over wildlife all over the planet, and what I don't understand is know, if all this stuff is happening out there, why the mainstream media ain't saying nothing about it? Because, you know, when you got, it starts down to the simple, the honeybees out there disappearing, right? Well, if you ain't got no honeybees, you ain't got no pollination. If you ain't got no little tiny fish or shrimp or krill or like that, then the bigger fish don't eat, and the fish and animals that are bigger than those that rely on that food there don't eat. And that would explain why there's a whole bunch of wildlife as far as sea lions and whales and stuff dying off as well. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a direct correlation. I mean,
what'd you say?
Wasn't that Albert Einstein that said that about the honeybee?
Yeah, he said if the honeybees die, we die. Simple as that.
The last report
I read on honeybees is that we're looking at almost 82% of the honeybees dead on the planet now. That was the last report that I read.
All right. The other point that I wanted to make is the reason why the mainstream media isn't reporting this stuff is they don't want their civilians to panic so they lose control of the situation. If the civilians panic and start taking away control from the higher up, rich and others, power-hungry fools and stuff like that, that's what they don't want. So they control down and dumb down the mainstream media to make sure that you guys don't panic.
Well, the key word there is fools, because those guys that are up there in the elite section of life, they got to eat too. And if the food chain completely collapses, then, you know, you got a problem. And, you know,
well, they're prepared for that, though, Shaziz. They've been stockpiling food, they've been stockpiling our seed supplies, they've been stockpiling tons of stuff underground, preparing for such a scenario to unfold.
Yeah, but see, here's,
I mean, that's insanity. You're right. I agree with you, though, Shaziz. It is insanity, because they want to eliminate how many of us off this planet according to their doctrine, and yet they're killing the planet. What are they going to have left to enjoy when we're gone?
Yeah, reminds me of that Metallica song, King Nothing. You know, if you destroy it all, what are you the king of? But if Kesha's prediction of a 10 to 20 magnitude earthquake occurs, it don't matter how deep you are in the planet, you got some problems.
The other point to that is if they eliminate us, they don't have the genetic variants to keep their species going. Genetic variants is quite literally the longevity of humanity itself. Like, they decide to kill 80% of the population, guess what's going to happen? They're not going to have genetic variants. Brother and sister are going to start getting together, unfortunately for them.
Yeah, that's not good. But, you know, hey, look, man. According to Stephen Greer, there's three big UFOs right behind the moon right now, and maybe they're here to save us from ourselves and our own insanity. Or maybe they're here to take over. They're terraforming us right now or something like that. I don't know, but all I can tell you is this. If you don't pay attention to nature, you're going to get blindsided, because that hurricane going on out there in the water there, as big as it is there for a reason. Now, could it be helped along a little bit, like, let's say, some man-made technology and such, or what, you know? But regardless of that, it's a situation that's going to cause a lot of people to need a lot of things. And you know, humanity is going to have to figure out a way to come together, or we're going to have to sit idly by and watch a lot of people suffer, you know, for no reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah. God told us to be caretakers of this planet in the first place. And it would have been funny if we built our cities underground and let the forests grow over so we had more biodiversity room in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, these traits that are underground too.
The caretakers portion there, that's the key word right there. We ain't been very good caretakers of the planet. You know,
well, that's because we're kind of a child race, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and
we don't listen to those who are in greater steps than us.
Unfortunately, we're probably going to end up learning the hard way. You know, that this whole incident with Fukushima over there that people keep talking about dumping radioactive material. Now, I got a few different disagreements on the actual dangers of as much as it is. However, I don't totally discount the possibility that that's part of the biggest problem that's going on out there, why the Pacific Ocean is dying off and such. There was one other episode that happened some time back that people just kind of overlooked, and that was when the BP oil spill was going on. They were dumping thousands of gallons of Corexit into the ocean. I mean, thousands of gallons. And they actually even said that they had to cut it back 70% because of the EPA told them you got to cut it back 70%. But even after 70%, we're still talking thousands of gallons of Corexit that displaces oil, basically breaks it up so that microbes can eat it. However, you got to think about this for a second. Think scientifically here. If Corexit breaks up oil, and you have fish that are a carbon-based life, and they have oil in them as well, could that explain why you had all kinds of starfish that were like gelatinous on the seashore, and other small plant life and fish life that were dying off as well? You see what I mean?
All kinds of mitigating factors out there.
Yeah.
All you got to look at is how much chemtrailing they've been doing off the coast of the United States for the last 3 or 4 years. How much of mercury and beryllium and aluminum and chemicals are going into the ocean every day. What is happening to the ocean? We should be protecting it, guys, not attacking it.
And that's another thing right there. Okay, so let's take and add all this stuff together. You got nature's natural rage, okay? That's something you can't get around. But then, to top that off, you're going to throw corrects it in the ocean, which is going to change the chemistry of that ocean that some wildlife are not going to benefit from. You've got the Fukushima radiation leak going on at the same exact time. And on top of that, you got knuckleheads supposedly trying to combat global warming by spraying crud in the air. Now, one of two things is either going on. Either there's something up there in the sky that they don't want us to see, so they make a big old hazy mess for us not to be able to see through, or they're trying to literally kill us off. I mean, these are supposed to be very brilliant individuals flying airplanes and government officials. Either they're incredibly stupid, or they're literally trying to kill us off, just like the whole Agenda 21, population reduction, you know? I mean, you talk about save the children, but you drop bombs via drones over in a foreign nation. You talk about global warming, yet you're blowing things up all over the planet. Everything that seems like the governments are doing is counterproductive to common sense. Am I wrong?
I confirm that they're incredibly stupid. Incredibly stupid. To, like, the absurd.
Yeah!
You know, There's easy ways to combat global warming that are safer than spraying that nonsense in the air. I mean, somebody deserves a cold slap to the face for that one.
Well, here we are. We're just like the average Joes, right? And we come across all kinds of solutions for every kind of problem under the sun. There are natural medicines galore out there. You know, there's a grape seed extract that's supposed to cures cancer. There's hemp seed oil. There's chaga. There's all kinds of different natural remedies that Earth has provided, including your own body has built-in natural remedies. But yet, we got a society that will literally take even a small child to the doctor, and the doctor will radiate them via chemotherapy, make them so sick and their hair falls out, and they end up dying a miserable death, as opposed to trying anything that is alternative medicine or medicines that have been around for thousands of years that people knew about but somehow or another just up and forgot about. So
it's kind of funny when your child has ADHD and the darn teacher gets aggravated about it, right? The teacher can't handle teaching them. It just requires a different teaching method. But what do? They feed him Ritalin while his body is still developing. That chemical is in his body. His body is still developing. That chemical affects how his body develops.
Yeah, and if you follow Ritalin, Prozac, and Luvox back and find the actual patent that actually originated from, guess what? Guess what the original patent was on all that stuff.
probably speed, right? I mean,
PCP. PCP. It was a horse tranquilizer.
What's your child with ADHD got a problem with? An overactive brain or something? You know, it's kind of funny because Albert Einstein had ADHD. Guess what? I guess he had no overactive brain, huh? You know, it's really wrathfully funny when your kid's got an overactive brain. Because I guess that means his brain is faster than yours.
They're giving our children watered-down horse tranquilizers to calm them down, when in all reality, all that kid wants is a little bit of attention. If he got enough attention at home and his parents could be understanding, if you take a child and you jack them all up on sugar, which if you go to the grocery store, you see that you're walking through a chemistry lab. If you ever want to make make an explosive, go to the doggone Cheetos section or the soda pop section. I've watched a crazy Russian hacker guy taking half and half and different stuff like that and mixing it with soda and making rockets out of this stuff, man.
And if you take Cheetos and light them on fire, cheesies, and we did this year up in the book, people are eating these things, Shaziz. And I said, you guys want to see something really cool? I take a cheesy, I light it on fire, and I hold it over top of the fire, and in about 15 seconds, it's dripping like plastic into the fire.
Yeah.
And I'm going, hey, you guys want to eat this? And they're all looking at me going, huh?
And he took powdered sugar. The crazy Russian hacker took powdered sugar.
Man.
Sprayed it in a dust through a flame and he had a torch going off. Man, a flamethrower.
Remember that you yourself need energy and you got to eat that energy in order to move your hand as such. You eat high energy sources, guess what that means? You've got high energy.
Yeah, but you don't want to suck down a gallon of gasoline.
Well, no, you do not.
All I'm saying is the lack of common sense out there in this world is just mind-boggling. All right, now I've been called stupid for everything under the sun. I've been told I don't know what I'm talking about. But guys like Keshi, who just came out with a deal. Now, check this out. All right, you take an orange and you put it over one of his devices, and all you have to do is set it on top of the glass. It will take all the essence of that orange, and it will put the vitamins and minerals, and you will have water that will taste like an orange. And you can take this same glass, do the same process, and you can have everybody else out there drink from the same glass, and they get the same exact benefits. Now, if I said that, I would be run out of town on a rail as a madman. But this guy gets $20,000 per session to come out there and visit with people and feed them all a bunch of hoodoo voodoo. If he's got an alternative energy device, he's either one of two things. He's either flat out insane, or he's the most brilliant fraudster in the history of time, because he's literally in front of the entire world passing out these devices and telling you to go home and plug it into your wall. 3 weeks after you plug it into your wall, it'll make all your appliances be able to run off of this deal, right? Well, first off, I'm afraid to plug it into my wall because, I mean, it could be like a terrorist attack. I plug that thing in my wall, it burns my house down, you know, or whatever. He said it's not a generator. The next one out coming out is going to be a generator. This one is a transformer. It takes the energy from the wall, and you can get everywhere from 12 volts DC to 120 volts AC to 240 volts AC, and you can run your stuff off of it. And if I got one and you got one, and the people in between will benefit as well. And if you put things on top of this thing, the energy produced by his version of the plasma will have health benefits as well. So, not to mention that you can travel through space with it too.
Well, maybe the people who are calling you a fool don't know what they're talking about. They just don't know jack. You know what I mean? I mean, do they study physics? Do they mess around with technology in their lab?
Yeah, so that's a good question, because a lot of the guys that come out there cursing me out, I go to their YouTube channel and they ain't got one single video and no subscribers. All they got is a whole bunch of where they went around and cussed people out on their sites because they didn't like what they had to say.
They're trolls.
Now, here's the thing. See, moving right along down the back down the line again, Stephen Greer says there's three huge UFOs up behind the moon. All right, and there is alien contact being made, and it has been going on since way back in the 50s, that our military has interdimensional travel and space travel all perfected via these visitors that have shared their information, yet we don't contact them just yet, and they don't tell the people of the public just yet because they don't want people of the public to panic. And they don't necessarily trust the people, the aliens, yet, and so they don't want to start an interstellar war and all this kind of stuff. So he's got a really good story behind everything, all right? But to take this even further yet, now we've got I would say, maybe a partial debunker down at the bottom of the list here. 200 Proofs Earth is Not a Spinning Ball, video book by Eric Dubay, and he'll sit there and explain to you why the Earth is a flat, infinite plane with multiple little ponds of different Earths all the way across it and stuff like that, and that there is this either glass or ice ceiling across the deal, and so way of explaining it, and multiple other of the Flat Earth Society out there, there is no outer space, and the moon is just a hologram kind of stuff. But yet, once again, if old Shaziz comes out and says anything remotely like, I don't care about current watts and amps because you don't need it to move energy from point A to point B, suddenly I'm the stupidest man on the planet and getting called everything. I even got a death threat over that one. All right? Well, what I was trying to explain to them back then was the fact that all I want to do is use high voltage, which is pressure. Voltage is pressure, and pressure gets work done. So I want to take and be able to move energy as quickly, as rapidly as possible, and dump it down into capacitor banks. I want to take that energy away from a generator head, change it to a different state of energy, because according to their own laws of physics, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. All I want to do is move it from point A to point B rapidly, and then on the other side, recombine it back into usable current, and then run the generators. At that point, when you turn your light bulb on, now the math applies. Now the current watts and amps makes a difference. Instead of invoking Lenz's law and causing the problem that bogs your generator down, don't invoke Lenz's law. Just move the energy away from the generator and send it on down the line via heat or radiant energy or high voltage or whatever, so that the electron flow doesn't make it back into the same generator that's trying to give you the energy that you want to use. See, you see what I'm saying? But when I say that, boy, ooh, I gotta take a breath. What do you guys think?
I think you need a breath too.
Yeah. But either way, we got a whole lot of stuff going on in this world. These are exciting times we're living in, and there are individuals out there, unfortunately, that are in harm's way that, you know, all these brilliant minds out here need to come together and formulate a plan for the after effects, so to speak. Whenever everything starts to go awry out there, there's going to be people that need assistance. There's going to be people that need knowledge, and there's a lot of individuals out here on YouTube and all these social media networks that have studied everything under the sun. You guys are going to be the most valuable independent people out there in this world, because you are going to have the knowledge that other people's going to need. Not everybody knows how to work on things, you know, and you're going to have to help people out.
And as we need to be a leader.
Yep. We need to be good caretakers and help our brothers and sisters learn how to feed themselves and stuff. I think Barry said it a few times about giving a man fish, you'll feed him for a day, but if you give him a fishing pole and teach him how to fish, you'll feed him for a lifetime. Remember that, Barry? I think Barry done took off.
Yeah, he's probably in the bathroom.
Yeah, he'll be right back. So anyway, I think we've been joined by Justin. Are you in there, Justin?
Looks like he's AFK too, huh?
Yeah. He's got his bismuth picture up there, so I know he's in here, but he probably don't have his microphone going. All right, so like, you know, back to our conversation there, you and I had a really good, brilliant conversation about all kinds of things out there, you know, and I like the way you think. I like the way that you talk about recapturing energy and to take things to make them more efficient. See,
well, thank you.
Efficiency equals less money that you're going to have to pay the power man, you know. If you can take that same light bulb that you're going to use for light and you can cook on that light bulb, which we all know you can because they have a toy out there called an Easy Bake Oven, right? They little kids, you can get light off this thing and you can cook some cupcakes on this doggone thing, little tiny cakes.
You can get the light off of it, you can cook from it, and then as the heat rises from the food and from the light bulb up to the top of whatever you're cooking in, you can also reclaim the heat back and the energy and use it for other things again.
Yeah. And so
every single time, I mean, basically it makes a self-sufficient home. 80% less energy to possibly even 100% less energy. You could recapture the light from the light bulb and a special set of solar panels as well, so that they reflect off the solar panels. Your eye and your body even absorbs the artificial light into something, as energy is never created or destroyed. That light energy hits your body, it's being absorbed with something like a vitamin X or something. I mean, it's not natural sunlight, so it's some kind of weird something.
Yeah, well, either way, the whole thing, the whole key to all this, I'm getting some sort of feedback. Are you hearing that?
Yeah, it's Justin.
Yeah, I'm outside. I'm going to go inside.
All right. Well, anyway.
The whole thing is this universe has, let's say something small so we can comprehend it. Let's say the whole universe is 100 watts. If you use that 100 watts, you still have that 100 watts. Every single time, no matter what, you will always have that 100 watts forevermore.
And that's what I kept saying about moving the energy out of the generator head. That generator head is capable of producing so much energy. Whatever energy that generator head can produce, if you move that energy from one point to the next, you still have the same amount of energy, even though it is in a different form.
Yeah, so, you just take it, you put it back into electricity, you do tasks with it, it makes another type of energy, like heat and kinetics. You take that heat, you take whatever kinetics back you can, as long as you're not doing tasks with it. You can do tasks thousands of times with the same energy you just use. You could throw 1,000 watts into some device and that device goes, and then like whatever it produces is side effect energy. You take that, you spool it back into the energy pool, and then it does the next task after that. It's a cascade of tasks with the same amount of 1,000 watts that you had to start with.
Well, there you go, man. And so with that said, you know, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it, because it's there, man. It's been there all along. I mean, we're floating in the sea of it. It's just that people haven't figured out how to use it efficiently.
Well, since energy cannot be destroyed, that means you can reuse the same energy that you just had over and over and over again. Energy cannot be destroyed, therefore you can use the same energy that you had 15 billion times.
Well, think about this for a second. When you talk about an automobile is already proof of over-unity, all right? An automobile is already proof of 0 point. You put some gasoline in this doggone thing, and if you take away a few factors of the automobile, that motor will literally destroy itself. It will melt the block from all the heat that is generated from the combustion of that.
Unless you can take the heat and siphon it into energy quick enough.
Yeah, but see, my point is this. My point is the power potential in the motor itself to do the work that you want produces waste energy, a massive amount of waste energy that you have to figure out a way to disperse. And so using what you're talking about using, instead of wasting that energy, you put it back into something usable, such as you and I were talking about how maybe you could possibly build a hybrid transmission that would work off not just hydraulics, but it would also have an electric motor built into it, that if you took all the heat that was being wasted off the motor itself, that you could generate enough electricity to literally turn that electric motor that is inside that transmission. So now you have
excess energy that your engine produces, such as like the excess energy that doesn't need to go to your battery, like just throws energy to the ground for all you know, could actually go to an electric motor making your vehicle more efficient.
Yeah, so if the electric motor is running, the faster that electric motor goes, the less that that gasoline engine has to work. And so you're essentially taking the load off of the motor because you have an electrical assist transmission that is using the waste energy. And you got four wheels on your car, unless you got one that's
not, not only that, if your electric motor can't catch up to the speed that your combustion engine's running at, like let's say you're on a bike, right? You know how you're pedaling as hard as you can and it gets to the point where you can't pedal fast enough to boost your speed more? Your electric motor could go to a spiral spring steel and tighten that spring steel up to be a big burst of energy later for acceleration.
Yeah.
You can spool it up inside this spool with a pulley system, and it spools it up to max. You could spool three or four of those, and let's say you need to accelerate instead of using your combustion engine, it just connects the transmission to one of those spoolers, and the spool releases, and it goes bong, right? It just slowly releases into the transmission by expanding the spring steel back into the spiral shape that's on Titan. Well, in your transmission, and you just go, woo!
There's all kinds of options there. I mean, using the direct drive stator motors out there, you could actually have electric motors into the hubs of the wheel itself. Not only use the hubs for braking, but you could also use them for generating electricity while you're using it as a motor at the same time with a two- or three-phase motor generator built into the wheels itself. So now you got an internal combustion engine that is using every motion that that vehicle makes while you're using it to drive down the road to put power back into the system. So you're using it so super efficient that if you do use any fuel as far as fossil fuels, it's so minuscule it's not even remotely funny. And then by redesigning the injectors to send that fuel in there in a super fine mist, you get the same effect that the crazy Russian hacker did when he sprayed powdered sugar through an open flame. He created a doggone flamethrower with it. So if you atomize the fuel and you're not spraying as much fuel in there, you're still getting better combustion, less waste going out the other end, and so on and so forth. If you want to really get high-tech about it, turn that doggone thing into a hydrogen generator instead of running gasoline through there, run water through there. And then whenever your exhaust comes out, capture that water that is on the other end and use it to fill your tank back up so that you never run out of water. So you're still sitting there recycling all the energy over and over and over again. That sounds crazy, don't it? It's all right there in science. It shows you, water, hydrogen, oxygen, H2O. When you separate the two, you got two combustible gases. All right.
Not only that, when you use fossil fuels, you could have a decompressed tank at your home that's it's like this little tank or something.
Yeah.
And you decompress it into a vacuum, and you stick it to that exhaust. So instead of letting that carbon monoxide going up into the atmosphere, you can use that tank to the exhaust and suck it up into this tank, and then you can have that compress your CO into it, and you could possibly use that CO as a useful byproduct for something, possibly even remaking the fossil fuels or using it possibly for some useful application.
Well, there's the key right there. Whenever I do my alternative energy in my lab, I take and I've deliberately built everything that I've built out of junk to prove a point. First off, I'm recycling things that other people are throwing in the trash. You know, if somebody's throwing away a direct drive washing machine, Well, whether it be the Samsung model or the Fisher & Paykel design, if they're throwing it away, there is a ready-built generator right there. All you got to do is take the parts out there, and you have a ready-built generator that requires absolutely no modifications whatsoever to generate electricity. All you have to do is figure out a way to turn the doggone thing. A wind turbine, a water wheel, or whatever. And I'm not the first person to figure that out, but either way, that's one, just one little option out there. And people throw those in the trash. Any permanent magnet electric motor. Huh?
They're basically throwing away gold, right? I mean, I go to the dump, guess what I find? I find gold all over the place. There's a computer over there. Oh, my God, a computer. I take that computer. There's a washer and dryer. Oh, my God, the washer and dryer. That's gold right there to me.
Yeah, inside of us, the circuit boards have silver solder. They have white gold. They have yellow gold. All of those. And keep in mind, it might not be a whole substantial amount, but either way, it's still gold and silver and precious metals. And there are other things in there that could be recycled as well. You know, capacitors, copper wire, and all kinds of stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Just like you said, it is a gold mine at the dump.
It is. It's technology plus alloys and carbons. I mean, every single thing on this planet is gold.
You want to talk about alloys? In those Samsung washing direct drive washing machines, there is a aluminum alloy inside there that holds the barrel on the Samsung model. And I'll tell you one thing for sure, that is the toughest cast aluminum I have ever seen in my life. I mean, I used a grinder that could barely cut through this aluminum, all right? And these are grinder wheels that will cut through steel. And trying to use a chisel to crack it, I almost never got that aluminum off of that doggone shaft that I wanted to save. It was really tough material. Now, that super strong alloy, and not only being lighter weight than steel, but super strong, could be used for a whole lot of stuff. So if you saved just that alone out of those washing machines and then built you a forge and melted that stuff down and built things out of it, you'd be surprised what you come up with, man.
It's probably carbon aluminum or something.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, whatever it is, it's super strong and it's impressive.
There's another technique I wanted to teach you guys about. It's called atmospheric forging. Basically, instead of forging and smelting in oxygen, you want to forge and smelt in, let's say, argon or anything else, like hydrogen. As long as there's no oxygen in there to ignite the hydrogen, you should be okay. You could smelt in a multitude of atmospheres, or let's say vacuum-like space, to give your steels or your aluminums or your alloys different properties. You might be able to make a lighter steel or a heavier, more dense, stronger steel, or one that can actually bend but doesn't vibrate, or
well, that's brilliant.
Make aluminum that you can crumple up and throw on the floor and it turns back into a perfect flat sheet, you know what I mean?
That's brilliant, and I'll tell you why, because my research in plasma has made me find out that inside the plasma, it gets hot. It gets extremely hot. And you only need high voltage in order to create plasma. You don't need a whole lot of current watts and amps in order to do it. You could do it with a 20,000 volt oil burner igniter and use some argon gas, which is non-flammable. It's one of the noble gases out there, like helium and halogen and neon and stuff. You know, they just have different colors. But once it's in the plasma state, if you look at the fluorescent bulb starters out there that they use in the fluorescent lightings, you'll find out that they have argon gas inside there, and they have a little thermal switch. And what happens is whenever the high voltage goes in there and turns that into plasma, it literally heats up that little heating element inside there, and that heating element will eventually make contact and turn the ballast on and off. It's pretty brilliant. But if you had, you was going to smelt your metal, and you had a system to where you could build a temporary vacuum to long enough to melt the metal, You could use plasma to melt the metal and then release the vacuum, pour the mold, and then there you go, man.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What do you think the gravitational effect has on casting metals? Can you pour it in the mold and gravity makes it settle? If you can put them into a field where you can reduce gravity, can you produce different types of alloy?
I think you probably could, and one of the other things is probably less bubbles involved in the scenario from, you know, as gravity's pulling it down and air's trying to mix with it at the same time. If you could all, if you could do it all inside of a vacuum and keep those structures together on a micro scale a lot tighter, I could see you could actually get some really impressive strength out of some alloys that way. You know what I mean? Because it'd be like super sealed, so to speak.
Oxygen isn't really our friend, is it?
Sometimes not.
Not when you're playing hydrogen, I know that for a fact.
Yeah, hydrogen, oxygen, and a match is a bad combination.
Most certainly. How you doing, guys?
Good, how are you?
Plodding along, rushed back from a wedding to give Shaziz a bit of a wingman support.
Well, appreciate that. How'd the wedding go?
It was quick, it was cheerful.
Cool.
The best time to go.
Congratulations.
Oh, I wasn't getting married.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And that, were you here for the atmospheric foraging?
Yeah, he was here.
I got in about 10-15 minutes ago, so I got here just in time, because that's pretty interesting stuff.
Well, we got my friend Zirius on here. Maybe you guys exchange some contact information. You guys probably have some brilliant conversations with one another. We also have in here Barry, and we got Justin in here as well. And I think we're having a really good conversation. You probably missed out on what we were talking about earlier about the links that I posted in the chat room. Free energy has been solved. Should I go back down the list for you guys?
Just a very brief synopsis would be beneficial for me.
Okay, well, brief synopsis is Keshi is releasing all his free energy devices to all the nations of the world and gave everybody 10 days that he was going to put all the information out there and so that everybody and his brother would have it. And his has health benefits, and you can feed a lot of people with one orange. And you can travel through space with his gizmo and a bunch of other stuff. And moving right along down there, Stephen Greer says there are three motherships right behind the moon presently waiting for us to have communication with, and that there have been communications with extraterrestrials all the way back to the 1950s. And the only reason why we haven't had total disclosure from our government is for power structure for the government and the fear of an interstellar war between the government and the aliens. And the reason why the aliens don't want to talk to us is because we're like crazy monkey Cro-Magnon man that run around bonking each other on the head and blowing stuff up. So they're waiting for us to come in peace.
It's the fact that we're just being stupid.
Yeah. And moving right down, 200 proofs.
Free energy is solved as long as humanity stops spilling its energy off into space.
Yeah, I agree. I'm right there on the free energy. I agree with that. But I just want to make sure that the people don't get sold a hoodoo voodoo device because it makes us all look bad when we're talking about free energy and you got somebody out there trying to scam the planet, you know, that kind of deal. Anyway,
no, $500 for a speaker. You know, you could build that speaker for $5. I mean, there's so many things that corporations selling you for absurd prices. I mean, please convert your hour into $10 at your job, and then go pay me 20 hours of your life when you could take 2 hours of your life in some random stuff that you found at the junkyard or the recycling center or whatever, and you build the same thing.
Yeah, build probably better one.
What they do to you.
Alright, but moving right along back down, we've got two more links. 200 Proofs Earth is Not a Spinning Ball video book by Eric DeBay, where he explains The Earth is an infinite plane of ponds, of ice ponds with different versions of planets, Earth, all the way along for an infinite plane. And he explains why the Earth is not a spinning ball, and so on and so forth. And talks about the Flat Earth Society and so on. And moving right down along, more grounded, is Raymond. Raymond has been making alcohol from donuts, and I want to keep up on with this one on there because it talks about recycling day-old donuts and turning it into alcohol, which you can then in turn turn into fuel. Now, he says that you're not making this to drink. He's just making it to see if it can be done with donuts. So that's pretty much caught you up there, Steve. What do you think?
But the alcohol from donuts I'm very interested in, because beer takes a lot of effort.
Yeah.
It seriously does. I mean, if you want to make beer, you have to wash bottles and you have to wash buckets and you have to have right temperatures for yeast and fermentation. And if you can just get it off a donut, so no, all and well. The UFOs on the dark side of the moon. Well, perhaps if you think positively, they might come and help you fix your broadband.
I hope they do.
The rest of the stuff, I mean, it's all good, interesting stuff, but can we apply it in our daily lives, and do we have the skills and ability to make it work? That's what it all comes down to. And well, it comes down to personal choice as well. Do you want to watch a soap opera, or do you want to kind of hook your shed up with some basic tools and start experimenting?
That's what I'm saying right there. I even commented on Keshi's deal. I said, you know, if it gets things started, you know, hey, we have everything we need, literally, to design the perfectly efficient motor generators, and all we got to do is use everything that we've learned. All the basic science is there. There ain't no reason for all the craziness going on in the world. However, I had to post those links to point out that there is a whole lot of stuff going on in the world. You know, there's a crazy storm out there tearing up the ocean out there on Mexico side. You got all kinds of wild stuff going on over in the Middle Eastern side. You got all this UFO disclosure. You got free energy being released. It's the exciting times that we live in. We got everything we need. We just want to put it in the hands of the people out there so that they can do it. Just do it. All I want is people to get it done. That's all I care about. I don't care who does it. I don't care who gets credit for it. Just as long as it gets done.
Well, Shizzers, you know I like to ask questions. One of the questions I would ask is, when they talk about sustainable energy, who is it intended to sustain? Because it always seems to come with a large price tag.
Yeah, like California's new deal to make by 2017, all their houses have to be 0 point. Which essentially means the house produces its own energy via solar, wind, or whatever. And in order for this to be done by 2017 for even existing houses, there's no grandfathered in houses that if you have an old house or a historical house that it doesn't have to be 0 point. Every structure in California has to be 0 point by 2017. And the estimation on what it would cost to retrofit each individual house is starting from $58,000 per household to retrofit your house with solar, wind, and so on to make sure that you reduce your carbon footprint and your house is 0 point on time so you don't get fined. Woo!
Well, I'd like to make a very great big carbon reboot and stick it in the backside of all these people that keep banging on about it.
Yeah, me too.
Seriously.
You jump on their back, Steve, and I'll wail on them.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, I think somebody else is trying to get in there. Sorry for talking over you, guys.
Who? Barry, that you?
I just think you're taking all of it. But sorry, yeah, no, I'm as far as free energy goes, I'm not a super scientist or anything like that, but common sense is something I think I have a fair bit of, and there is no common sense in our world right now. It is absolutely insane. It seems like we are being bombarded right now with so much from so many different directions that it's got the human being going in circles right now, and I think this is all being done by design, shouldn't it?
Bingo.
I really do.
I agree.
So I think what we're seeing,
done by
what we're
design.
Seeing, I mean, distractions in our society, the absolute mass distractions that we're seeing. We're being bombarded with different things from different directions in large quantities like we've never seen before. And it's all meant to keep us distracted, guys. Really looking at what's going on.
And that's why I'm going to continue in my research and showing people all the information that I come across, is because at one point they had posted this problem out to the world. All right, they said that we had this problem and our planet was sick and we needed to save the planet. So I jumped on the bandwagon. I said, I'm going to help save the planet. I'm number one, I'm going to clean up my own backyard. I'm going to make sure that my backyard is friendly with nature. And then I'm going to turn around and design some clean, free energy systems that I can give to the world and do my part. All right? So I'm not stopping. I'm going to keep on going until this entire world crashes and it's all gone and the fat lady sung and went on down the road. I'm going to keep doing what I do. That's where the comments
is. If you use my techniques, if you use my techniques to reclaim 80 to 100% of the energy your house uses, you could basically use like 20 cents of energy to keep your whole entire house going.
Well, and that's, it's even that sounds like it's so far-fetched that it's not even possible, but that's what we've been indoctrinated to believe, that things are not possible.
It's not impossible. Obviously, you've got thermoelectric pads, and obviously you can network.
Well, NASA did it.
Such a special way as to, they work. I mean,
NASA did it.
Get 100% of that heat energy back that your light bulb produces. You can even get the light your light bulb produces back into energy with some kind of special walling. That light hits the wall and it gets absorbed or reflects. If it absorbs into the wall, it turns into heat again.
Yep.
Just as long as you find a way to reabsorb all of the electricity you use, which is not impossible, because as per stated by physics, as you like to state so many times, energy cannot be destroyed.
That's right.
Therefore, that energy can be recollected 100% and reused again and again and again.
Zarius.
And again and again after that, and four more thousand times after that.
Zarius, NASA supposedly sent a probe a billion miles away from the Earth. So far away that sunlight on solar panels is so inefficient that it would only give you the equivalence of energy for a 2-watt light bulb. They sent a piece of plutonium and some thermocouples in there. They built a thermoelectric generator that for 9 years that traveled all the way to Pluto. 9 years after it finally, when it finally arrived 9 years later, it was able to produce over 200 watts of electricity that ran the equipment and the cameras and the transmitter that was capable of sending a signal from so far away that sunlight is inefficient as far as solar panels go. They were able to send a signal back and show you a picture of Pluto. All right, so where in that is not that free energy? I mean, come on, seriously.
Zarius was talking about reflective materials. One of the most common, Zarius, my background is horticulture, and I've worked in some pretty big establishments in Holland growing food under artificial light. And industrial mylar with a reflective surface will reflect up to 95% of all light that hits it.
Well, there you go, man.
You can grow the food in a box. with reflecting light all around that box, even to the lower parts of the plant, that your main light might not directly reach, and grow whatever you need to.
Zarius and I had a conversation last night, and we were talking about putting solar panels in water. Because one of the things that causes solar panels to become inefficient is when they get too hot. So if you have it cooled down, you're not only using the water to cool down the solar panel, making it more efficient, but you're also using the water to refract the light coming from the sun to disperse the light more evenly across that panel and making it yet even more efficient. Then you can take that heat energy that is generated in that water and use it to supplement, let's say, your hot water heater.
Doesn't water magnify sunlight?
Yeah.
It does, yeah. Well, it's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah.
They've been taking 1 liter bottles of water, putting a hole in their roof, and literally dropping a Coke bottle through, filled with water and bleach, so algae doesn't form, and they've a solar-powered light bulb.
Yeah.
Now, we'll say, what do you need a light bulb in the daytime for? These people live in tin shacks. There is no light inside them. They've got no windows. There's literally a door at the front. And when they stick a hole, just cut a hole in the roof and drop in a 2 litre Coke bottle with water in it, they have a 60 watt equivalent light bulb.
Which is more than enough light to see you around the house, man.
Oh, yeah.
It just is.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys can slip me up. My point to that was having double-sided solar panels at 45-degree angles to let the sunlight hit them from the top, and then it bounces off a reflective material, whatever's not absorbing, say the alloy that's absorbing that light into energy, to bounce to the bottom of another solar panel, which would be a double-sided solar panel itself, and that would absorb whatever sunlight you didn't. So, like, let's say you have 60% light-absorbed solar panels. You just keep bouncing those the light rays in a cascade of double-sided solar panels at 45-degree angles, letting that light come in from above the solar panel, the solar panel, the solar panel, until you get 100% of that light into energy. The only problem is if you guys do this too much, you might cool your planet, because you keep absorbing light into energy. That light instead doesn't turn to heat on the planet. It might actually cool the planet.
Well, I'm not too worried about that at this point in time because, you know, we've seen some pretty good snow. I think UK's been having some pretty nice weather over there here recently as far as cold. What do you think?
Well, I am in Asia at the minute. We've got problems with the haze where they keep cutting down forests in Indonesia and slash and burn. And then everybody north of there is getting covered with soot.
Well, see, Eric, that's just crazy, man. You know, save the planet. If you're going to go out there and save the planet or protest save the planet, go out there and plant a tree. Don't just go out there and chop a tree down. Go out there and plant a tree. Now, if you're standing there in your protest sign with a wooden stick and a paper sign that says save the trees, that's kind of counterproductive, ain't it?
The heck with growing trees, plant 1,000 acres of industrial hemp.
Yeah.
We don't need to cut another tree down on this planet. If people could grab that alone, you'd see revolutionary change on the planet. But until the corporations control the logging industry and the governments control what's going on with it, we'll never see it.
Yeah,
the simple fact is, gentlemen, that industrial hemp could replace everything we're doing right now in the logging industry and do it much more efficiently with no impact on the environment. We stop cutting down trees, which are the life source of the planet.
Yeah,
that's the end of the insanity, man.
And they want your money.
That hemp.
Of course they do. But people have to grasp this.
Yeah, that hemp,
you know what
you're talking about.
I don't know if people... Yeah,
that
but the problem is, I don't think people are going to grab this until we're starving.
Yeah, well, you know, that's it.
They want to degrade your life. They want to degrade your life for money. I mean, they sell you technology level 3, or they have technology level 5. They quite literally keep technology level 4 and 5 on the shelf while they sit there and sell you technology 3 and then pretend technology 4 is cutting edge. They sell you technology 4 while they have technology 7 sitting back there on the shelf. They're idiots like that.
Well, that's why the average Joe has got to figure this out and do it themselves and not ask for permission. Like the hemp that you're talking about, Barry, they make clothes and rope and stuff out of that. So that tells me that it's got some strong fiber to it, all right? And you could take that fiber and you could crush it into wood. You know?
I've got a hemp t-shirt. I've got a hemp t-shirt. I've had it for 5 years now. I wear it all the time. I wash it, and it looks like the day I put it on, 5 years later. So come on, guys. And you know what? When you produce fiber out of hemp, you're only using a third of the water. You have no chemical footprint in the water when you're finished producing your fiber. It's totally biodegradable. Everything about it's a win-win, but they'll never let us do that until we demand it.
Barry,
we've got to reach
mass
awakening.
Go ahead. The Irish Farm Diversity Manual in the Republic of Ireland lists a potential 50,000 uses for industrial hemp.
Of the hemp plant. Yes, I know.
Yeah, that's the actual
everything you're looking
diversity manual.
Everything you're looking at. Everything.
And
yeah,
everything
you're looking at right now in your house.
Barry, I applied for
everything
a
you're looking
to get land to grow it on. They won't give me to get a herd number from the Irish Veterinary Association.
A herd number?
Yeah, yeah. I had to get approval from the Irish Medical Association to grow a hemp plant with no actual active chemicals in it. I was only allowed to buy seeds from one place in France, I think it was. And then even though I bought those seeds, they still needed to be tested by the government to make sure that they were less than 0.3% THC. They had to be in a field that was 100 meters from the nearest roadway. You know, they would put all these obstacles in your way, although they were openly admitting 50,000 possible uses, from building homes to petrochemicals.
Well, of course. Well, we know who controls the government, though. You know, until we get a handle on that, it'll always be the same. They'll keep this away from us as long as they possibly can. But the good thing is that we see a mass awakening around the planet to the potential uses of the hemp plant. I talk about it all the time. It is one of the greatest things that the human race could do right now, is get away from everything we're doing and go back to what we were doing 200 years ago, prior to the start of the Industrial Revolution, before we started killing this planet, before we brought in vaccines, before we brought in all these pharmaceutical drugs. You look at the human being 200 years ago, and they're the strongest, vibrant people. And what do we have today? We have a society that's completely upside down, sicker, sicker, and sicker all the time.
Yeah.
Well, it's all by design, guys. It really is. And the sooner... So what really got me my attention here, guys, in the last couple of years is when I met Rick Simpson. I got to know about the hemp plant. This was about 4 years ago. I was late in my life learning about this stuff, but I started looking at that, and that got me on another journey looking into other natural healing plants that are on this planet. And now I am doing my time studying everything that you can put into your human body that will offset the effects of the pharmaceutical industry and the toxins we're being exposed to. I mean, I'm not going to talk about Chag alone, because if I start talking about Chag, it'll be for an hour, so I'll only talk about it for 2 minutes. But that's just one example of something that I got involved in, now that I'm seeing absolutely amazing effects in my community, where people, after a month of using a simple mushroom that grows on our birch tree up here, are coming back and they want to hug you, and they're telling you that their arthritis is gone, that their diabetes, their blood sugar is normalizing, that they're noticing incredible changes in their body. And I go, boy, you know, the one thing I hate this world the most is the pharmaceutical industry and doctors. They're the biggest hypocrites in the world. So here we have something we can teach people, simple information, they're using it, and that's one less person that's going to the doctor. She says, and I've seen it right in front of my own eyes, and full. Most gratifying thing I've ever been involved in, guys.
I can understand him perfectly, because what they want to do is they quite literally want to, like, fluoride your water and cause crappy little problems in you, and then they want to throw a bunch of little side effect cures to your disease and not cure the center of your disease for money.
Well, you can't sell no drugs if ain't nobody sick. You can't sell no bullets if ain't nobody shooting each other.
Fighting wars.
You know, this whole...
So we just say, stop it.
This whole gun control deal is a big scam, you know, because every time they talk about gun control, the sales of guns over here in the U.S. skyrocket. So if you want to sell a lot of guns, tell the Americans you're going to take away their guns. They'll buy them up, all right? And they'll buy up all the ammunition they can get. The only reason why they'd ever even want to get rid of guns in this world is so that the average Joe couldn't defend themselves against a tyrannical government. You've seen that throughout history. History repeats itself. So,
of course,
regardless of the guns, they're still dropping bombs. They're still allowing toxic stuff to flow into the waterways. I mean, the EPA, for example, dump millions of gallons of mine waste down the Colorado River, turned it like orange, and what did they say to the people? Oh, don't worry about it. Just wait for the crud to float by and then turn your water back on. Really?
If you actually want to cleanse your water, take some black plate, take something black and coat something clear in black. Use sunlight to boil that water into steam and create steam energy off of it, and take that steamed water and put it into a clean container to make yourself 100% water.
Yeah, there's a lot of resources out there for purifying water, you know. But what the EPA essentially said, you know, hey, look, I just threw a dog rocket in the water well over there. Just drink around it. All right. Come on, man. This is the Environmental Protection Agency. They practice what you preach. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's a
bit
joke.
Like
it's a
somebody that has a bowl of Swiss cheese with holes in it.
Yeah.
And you say, I don't like the holes, so they say, cut them out.
Yeah. Cut the mold off the cheese and eat the rest of it. That's what they...
Yeah, cut the holes out of the cheese if you don't like that bit.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. See, now, it's going to take brilliant individuals such as ourselves to just get together in our communities and just do it, all right? We know this stuff can be done. You're not going to get any of the elite to help you build anything. It's going to have to be whatever tools you got mixed with my tools, and we just build it, we use it, and we pass it information on. If you can grow hemp on the government land and then go cut it down when the government ain't looking and build you a house out of it, or a shirt, or a coffee mug, or whatever. Hey, you see what I'm saying? And as far as feeding the people, instead of trying to plant a garden on your property where you know that the EPA is going to come over and stomp on your vegetables because you can't give that to your neighbor, do like Johnny Appleseed did. Go around the neighborhood and in every nook and cranny and just start chucking seeds everywhere. All right,
yeah,
tomato seeds, watermelon, all kinds of fruits and vegetables. Just start bombarding. I mean, like, what would we call it? Food terrorists, you know. So if you're a homeless guy living underneath the bridge and you wake up next morning and there's a tomato plant sitting there, you got something to eat, right?
Well, Seamus, Shaziz, if you're talking about food terrorists, do you mean the Amish? Because they sent a SWAT team, fully armed SWAT team, to basically deal with the Amish because they were selling raw milk.
Well, see, that's just crazy, man.
Probably the most peaceful people on the planet.
They would run
whose entire life is based on turning the other cheek, and they need men with guns to deal with them.
Yeah, they would rather throw the homeless man and the Amish in jail as opposed to working with them, you know? As opposed to feeding the homeless guy, you're gonna arrest him for vagrancy. Why is he a vagrant, you know? Shouldn't he be free to walk on the land in the freest country in the world, which is supposedly America, the land of home, the brave, the free, and such? Shouldn't he be able to walk around? You can't. There's a time limit. If you go to a public park, you got to be out by a certain time. There's a curfew. If you're walking down the road in the middle of the night, people wanting to pull you over and point guns and flashlights at you and ask you, where you going? What you doing? What you up to? Why you out so late?
I've been through that.
Well,
I've been through that.
You see what I'm saying? You feed the homeless guy. You put a roof over his head. You do what you should have been doing all along. And you ain't got that problem anymore. And if you want to make friends around the world, the fastest way to make friends around the world is stop dropping bombs on them, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
What do the
people need to... Go ahead, Palopsi.
Well, I wanted to put out a token of respect for the mothers of America that decided to do a protest outside the headquarters of the National Environment Agency's building by breastfeeding their children in front of it and then calling them to arrest them for feeding their children raw milk. That's what it comes down to.
Well, that's pretty much.
Is raw milk. You banned raw milk. Are you going to arrest us for breastfeeding our children?
Yeah, see, Look, if anybody out there thinks the government's got your best interest at heart, look at their track record. There's a law against everything. You're probably breaking. We're all breaking the law. We don't even know what law we're breaking, but we're breaking some law.
We're breaking the law just talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you know, under Bill C-50, C-51 now in Canada, she says I can be arrested and put in jail now.
Man.
Seriously.
Because
I talk against my government.
I talk
against my government.
Alright. The people need to get
up. I'm expecting to knock on my door.
The people need to get up and do something about it. They need to go to their mayors in their cities. They need to talk to their police forces. They need to talk to their whole city. They all need to wake up. They all need to get up. And they all need to start demanding what needs to be done.
Well, that's one way to look at it. And that's a possibility. But my version is like this. You know, I think that the best way to not have any dealings with the law enforcement is just to not be around the law enforcement. Don't even socialize with them. Don't talk to them. And go on about your business and do everything that you know needs to be done. And don't ask for permission. If you call up the government and say, "Hey, Mr. Government Man, can I build this greenhouse on my property?" And the government man say, "Well, if you pay your taxes, if you're good, if you don't talk out bad against us, then you can do that." You see what I'm saying? Every time you ask the government, you're going to find tons and tons of red tape just to do something that supposedly they keep claiming they want done. Small businesses and
such.
It's
kind of funny that God gives us all free will. You know, what happened to the freedom of free will to do what you want? No, you have to abide by monetary to take away your free will. You know, it's like the Antichrist rule over us or something.
Yeah, well, if the aliens up there got something to say about it, yeah, they're going to come down and straighten up house, right? That's what Stephen Greer is talking about. You know, they got the technology to do it. So on the Keshi side of the fence, he's already got the free power thing started, and he's spanning it out across the globe. Everybody's going to have free energy, and I hope he's on the up and up. I hope he's not fraudstering people, but I'm kind of skeptical until it's out there sitting out there for everybody. When it's in everybody's hands and everybody's benefiting from it, then I'll be satisfied, and I'll give my apologies to the man then. You did what you said you was going to do, but I don't know why it took you so long or why you had to charge people $20,000 per session to teach them how to do something that you could have just said, "Hey, this is Shaziz Radio Network, and we're telling you all right now, this is exactly how you get free energy. We're not charging you for anything. You can build it yourself." You see what I'm trying to say here, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since 2001, we've been told to be concerned about WMDs.
Yeah.
Now, I think that they actually were telling the truth. It's just they weren't actually using the right moniker. They're not weapons of mass destruction. They're weapons of mass distraction. And then it goes back to what Barry was saying earlier, that we're getting stuff thrown at us from every single direction.
Yeah.
And they are weapons of mass distraction.
That's exactly what's going on. That's why I brought all these doggone links to the table, because what's going on in there are things that we've been talking about for years and stuff like that. We're sitting there trying to talk about free energy, how to get people be able to have fresh water and the electricity so that they can have heating and cooling and all the luxuries that all of the rest of us can enjoy. We're talking about trying to get that to the world. In the meantime, you got knuckleheads out there trying to scam everybody and his brother in every single direction under the sun. You got knuckleheads out there trying to debunk all the alternative methods such as food growing and medicines and stuff like that. I can't remember the guy's name, did a video just yesterday about grape seed extract. Grape seed extract is supposed to cure cancer. Hemp seed oil, same thing. There are so many health benefits from alternative medicine out there, yet if you go out there personally and start your business and make any claims towards this being a cure, suddenly you're going to have the doggone wrath of the EPA, not the EPA, but the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA.
That's because they don't want the cancer to be cured. They want that person to die to make our society weaker so they can make us controlled.
They also do all this debunking of our technology so we're more controllable, so we're not stronger. They distract us from the true enemy, so we don't know who the true enemy, keeping them covert, making us weaker again. It's all about making us disabled. It's quite literally marine tactics, if you look at it that way. It's control, disabling, and distraction to keep your enemy covert.
Well, and that's why I say that the only way that this is ever going to get resolved is this: every single average Joe out there doesn't ask the government for permission. You just go out there and do it. Plant your gardens, share your food with your neighbors, and when they show up at your neighbor's house, you show up at your neighbor's house and stand there with them, you know, and all the neighbors out there... All the neighbors out there backing up each other and protecting each other from unconstitutional and illegal laws and tyranny, that's the only way you're going to get things resolved. You're not going to get things resolved by begging your congressman or your senator or your parliaments or your presidents or anybody out there to pass a law to protect you when they were supposed to be protecting you from start to finish. So the only way you're going to be able to protect yourself is to protect your neighbor, and your neighbor protects you. You guys take all the knowledge that you've gathered throughout the entire time that you've had access to this internet before they go and yank it out from underneath you. Build you another internet, a side-by-side internet, a people's internet that you control the information flow on there, and keep the words going, even if you have to send it by carrier pigeon or smoke signal from the top of every mountain. You send that information back to each other and show each other how to do alternative energies, alternative foods, and make our world a better place. Meanwhile, if you walk away from the beast system and you're not paying them for the trash that they're trying to sell you, if you're not allowing the doctors to poison you, then you're going to be fine. You see what I'm saying? Well, and if the doomsday shows up, we just go with it together, man. Yeah.
The sheriff in the United States is an elected position. If every time the sheriff turns up to do something unconstitutional, the whole community turns up as well to watch him doing it, are they going to vote him in the next time?
That's the question.
And he will know it.
That's the
question. Another point we have to keep in mind too, Shaz, is that what you're saying about your neighbor being your best friend when the poop hits the fan. Well, anybody out there that's listening right now, I could say to you, do you know your neighbor? Do you know your neighbor next door? And 95% of them will say no. Well, you don't think the evil farts that hide behind the curtains have prepared us for this particular time where they don't want us to know our neighbors, they don't want us to communicate, and that's what our society, that's where our society is right now, Shaziz. That's one of the biggest hurdles I see us overcoming right now. Is I make a point in my life, and I say this to people, when you're out on the street every day in your life now, smile and say hello to total strangers and watch the effect it has on people. Yep. We don't have that in our society anymore. When I was growing up, guys, I knew everybody from around my block. I grew up in downtown Toronto on Dury Street, downtown core of the city. When I was 10 years old, we knew every neighbor for two blocks around our house. I could walk, I could be out of the house till 9 o'clock at night, and the neighbors would always know where I was. My parents were informed. We all worked together. We had neighborhood parties. That doesn't exist in our society anymore, so we got to ask ourselves, why? Why is it that our society becomes so divided?
That falls into the whole marine tactics of what I just talked about, doesn't it? The whole disabled,
of course it does.
You weaker, everything like that. I mean, every single time you see a flaw like this in society, if a person in his house is angry and stressed, that in itself is a problem. You know?
Well, you know something, guys?
You shouldn't be stressed. I mean, you guys have this existence one time.
One of the side effects...
existence that's degraded, that's a problem.
One of the possible side effects of smiling to a total stranger is the potential to maybe earn a friend.
Exactly.
You know?
I do it every day in my life now, Shaziz. I do. Total strangers, I make a point. You know, I don't care who you are, I'll say hello and how are you doing? How's your day going? You know the conversations I start by just saying that to total strangers? And that conversation leads you into other things you can talk about. You know how many people I'm seeing in my community now that are actually starting to wake up to what's going on in our world? That alone is encouraging. I am seeing a shift in people's thinking. I really am.
Yeah.
So
that's all there is. There really is just this.
It's just some fool out there who's jealous of you being smarter than him. He wants to be God, therefore he doesn't like you being more intelligent, so he's trying to break you down, disable you, make you dumber by dumbing you down. He's jealous of you because he wants Godhood for some reason. He's a fool.
Well, you just ignore those people. You focus on the people that you get a good vibration and a good response from. Because there is people out there right now that are seeking knowledge. They are. The people are becoming aware that things are really messed up in our world, and people are looking for knowledge and looking for people that will actually talk.
Yeah, and there's hope.
No, they're not. I don't know if they're jealous of that. I don't know if that's the right word, but I'm just saying in my own life I'm noticing a shift in people's minds that they're starting to open up more and more to what they would have called total conspiracy crap 2 years ago if I had talked to them. Now people are going, there's some stuff going on.
Well,
we need to address.
It all boils down to this, guys. There is hope for humanity, but it's going to lie in a ground roots effort such as what we've been doing for many years now. We've been out here, we've struggled through these networks out here, and we've broadcasted informations and ideas to one another for so long, and we ain't gave up. We're still here. We're still ticking. We're still out there saying the same thing. And if anything that we say out here benefits you as an individual, and you think and believe in the ideas and designs and the message that we're giving, share it with your social media networks out there. That's how we get the word out to people. Smile at your neighbors, just like Barry's talking about. Smile at a total stranger. I mean, that's how we get things done.
Society, get your society interested in your fight. Get up against the government or get into slavery and death.
Well,
you don't have to go against your government at all, because your government is representative of what you want. And 5 years ago, people were calling me arrogant because I had the temerity to think that I could find my own solutions. But now they just call me confident. And it's a change in people's attitude over a number of years. And it's kind of nice that people... I don't think it's about intelligence. I think it's about confidence.
And because so many people have been beaten down and they've been put in a position where they're afraid to make their own decisions, so it's confidence, not intelligence. In agreement with what Steve said about not going up against your government,
essentially
what you've done, imagine this. I go out there, I'm going to get in a fight, a fist fight with somebody out there. And before I get to that fist fight, I'm going to go down to the local store and I'm going to purchase a set of brass knuckles for my adversary that I'm going to be fighting. And I'm going to give him that brass knuckles while I got my bare fist. All right, that's essentially what you did to the government. You gave them the money to buy all the weapons that they used to hold you down. And so when you go up there, they're going to pull the brass knuckles on you. And so
we all essentially live under two-headed government, two masters. We live under corporatism, and democracy. We need to rip it all away and reformat it and redo the operating system so it actually makes sense.
But the law, the laws of physics, as in maybe say the laws of free will, state that we don't have to live under that system. We choose to live under that system because we allow them to do what it is that they do to us. It's as simple as if they come down there and tell your neighbor, they're going to throw him in jail because he wants to collect rainwater on his property to feed his cattle. Or he wants to sell milk that he gets from his cows to his neighbors, and they're coming down there with the army to basically haul him off to jail. If you as a community don't stand up for him, then you're going to continue to buy your pasteurized, genetically modified milk from the store and paying the man. Because if you look at this deal right here, if you go out and find all the dairy farmers out there, you'll find out that the dairy farmers sell their milk to corporations who in turn around and do whatever it is that the EPA or the Food and Drug Administration says they have to do to the milk before they can put it on the store shelves. So you're not getting natural, wholesome milk.
More than it should be.
Yeah. So you're not getting it. The best place to buy
GMOs, right?
Best place to buy the fruit is right from the farmer, you know? So support your local farmer and you support feeding your community. That's as simple as that. And if you grow more in your garden than you can eat, you give it away to your friends and family and your neighbors. That's how you take care of each other. It's that simple. And knowledge, if you share knowledge willingly and for free to the world, they're going to share knowledge back to you. And there's so many brilliant minds out there that have access to so much information. I've learned so much from guys like Barry and Steve and Zerus and Justin. I've learned so much from guys like you and Muddy and Raymond out there. And I hope that at some point you guys learned a little bit from me as well.
Yeah, and Mr. T would agree, because leaving your friend a fool is not a good thing. I mean, Mr. T would tell you that you are a fool yourself if you leave your brother a fool.
Yeah.
And he pities you.
Yeah.
Christina Chin. That is the name of a seamstress that works in a local apparel department store. She's coming around next week for me to teach her how to make spelt bread, non-wheat bread, and in return for that I get lessons in Mandarin.
Cool.
No money needs to change hands.
See how that works?
This is a 57-year-old Chinese woman.
See how that works?
What would a Western guy have anything to do with a 57-year-old Chinese seamstress that works in a department store doing alterations? But she asked me what I did, and I said, well, currently I'm working as a chef. And she said, can you teach me? And I said, what do you want to learn? And she said, well, I'm gluten intolerant. I'm celiac. And I said, yeah, I can make wheat-free bread. There's loads of different recipes for it. I can show you two or three. And she said, how can I pay you? I said, well, you speak Mandarin and you speak English. Teach me how to speak Mandarin.
Cool. See, that's
what
it should be. If you go...
I'm gonna conduct cookery lessons in Chinese.
If people go back to a system such as bartering, who needs a dollar bill? Who needs a yen or a ruble or any of the other euros? Or you got something that somebody else needs and they got something you need and you swap it. And, man, what better store could you go to than your trusted neighbor? You trust your neighbor because you know how your neighbor does his gardening. You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about going there whenever you bring your food home from the grocery store. You got to wash it off because there might be tons of pesticides on it. And then if you do eat it, you might glow in the dark and wake up in the morning with a third or fourth eyeball on your face. You know?
How about a system constructed by the 21st century that's more streamlined, more efficient than monetary, works better, you know, just makes monetary obsolete look foolish in comparison. I mean, imagine a system made by the people, guided by the law and science, you know what I mean? Like, science and law gets involved and the people construct a new system above monetary. What could we come up with? We've got a whole fantasy slew of solutions. I mean, we've got all this reality to be able to figure out a totally new system, a system beyond monetary that just transcends it.
Well, you know, there's people out there that use the word called boycott, and they'll go out, and if they don't like something a company did, they won't buy from them, and they'll get other people to not buy from them. You don't even have to do that. If you start bartering amongst each other, and they're not getting that dollar bill, guess what? That you get their attention. So the power is in the people. When enough voices are raised up to the government, they have to listen. When enough people are walking away from the system and building their own system, such as the one you're talking about there, Zerus, is that, you know, they have to listen. Because people are walking away from the table, you know? If you don't like what you're eating at the table, get up and walk away. That's as simple as that.
If you ever take something God made and put it before monetary, like God makes a system that goes beyond monetary, of course God would be perfect at it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the rich fool, he will tell you it's foolish. And God himself makes it? That's laughable, don't you think?
The problem is,
that's how they would react. That's how the rich would react to a system made by God himself. God himself would make a system better than monetary and set it before the people. The rich people would throw their poop at it.
Unfortunately, we've 5,000 years of history in Europe of people pretending to be God, telling us what to do.
Yeah, They all got that complex.
Unfortunately, that doesn't work.
You know, they actually want to get into transhumanism to where they now take and combine machine and man and become, you know, basically gods, you know. They want you to have a little tag in your hand that they can use to track you just like cattle. Go around to any cattle farmer and look at their cows. Look on their ear of their cows. Those cows have a tag with a number on them. Some of them even actually just have a brand where they take a hot metal poker and they brand their mark on that cow so that everybody knows that cow belongs to them. All right, that's what the government wants to do to you. They've already done it with the Social Security card and the birth certificate to some extent, but they want to take that a step a little further. They want your fingerprints. They want your blood, your DNA. They want your eyes, pictures of your eyes, biometrics. They want to have a tag in your wallet. They want to have a tag in your hand so that anything you buy around this world, they know about it. You see what I'm saying?
Don't be surprised if they track you by your brainwaves.
Well, you know what? The technology's there to do just that. And if look.
If
people want to talk about slavery, slavery never ended. It just got worse. It just got more covert, you know, secret. So people are sitting there and they believe that they have a choice as far as working with the system. You do have a choice. And that choice is going to have some painful results because the system itself is going to fight you at every turn. And even some of the people who are so insistent on living in the system because they believe that the system gives them security, they're going to fight you as well. And so it's going to take the people out there who don't believe in the system, who aren't stuck in it where they have no way out. And people who realize that they are an individual and have free will and can make choices such as growing their own food or their own medicine, and they just don't feed the beast that's eating them alive. Am I wrong?
No.
You were talking about a chip in someone's hand. Well, with the exception of Justin, I would assume that everybody is old enough to remember Logan's Run.
Oh, yeah. I remember that movie.
So you got a chip in your hand. When you reach the age of 30, you basically get euthanized.
Yeah, everybody jumps on the carousel and they get blasted with a laser, you know, and you're doing your part for humanity, to make humanity be able to go on into the future, you know?
Yeah, well, we've kind of been down that path already, and they've shown us the potentials that it can be used for. Now, maybe it won't be, but what's to say that you've got a chip in your hand and somebody decides they don't like you, and they're part of the elite group, and suddenly that chip gets switched off?
Yeah, well, what if it's a doggone hacker that decides he don't like you, and he shuts your chip off, and suddenly you ain't got no way to prove who you are or be able to buy anything?
Yeah, show me your chip.
What if they want to zap you, they just change your frequency?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, every now and again, I get somebody on the street that's trying to sell me a credit card, and I kind of open my wallet and I show them the notes in my wallet, and I say, well, look, the bank can take it out of my account under government order, but to be perfectly honest, if they want to take it out of my wallet, they're going to have to fight me for it.
Yeah.
So to be perfectly honest, though, you know, a credit card is no use to me.
That's brilliant. Yeah, man, if it's in your pocket, then it's a different story, but if you got it in the bank, you know, you can get robbed overnight. I mean, you got all your money in the bank. Overnight, the bank can decide, well, you know, hey, your money's worthless. Sorry about your luck. And then, you know, now you're broke. But here's another thing that I think about all the time. You know, there's a lot of people in the prepper community that talk about storing up perishable goods and stuff like that and things that'll last long. And some people look at them like they're crazy. But in the worst case scenario, a bag of sugar is worth its weight in gold if you can't go to the store to buy a bag of sugar. You know what I mean? And you could sell that bag of sugar to somebody else to maybe get something that you need that they got. And both benefit.
Well, a friend of mine has a 40-foot container full of toilet paper.
Well, that may sound crazy, but hey, during the apocalypse and you can't find a roll, the outhouse is kind of uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
But he reckons that a 40-foot container of at the start of the apocalypse is worth nothing, but the halfway through it, he's going to be very, very well supplied.
Well, there you go, man. It's either that or the old methods. Talk to some of the Amish of some of the paperwork that they use in the facilities. I don't even want to know, man. And over in France, they got what's known as a bidet, and I don't want no bidet.
No, seriously, Shaziz, I was in Indonesia recently, and they don't have toilet paper. You get a hose.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want that. That's what a bidet is. It squirts water up there, man. I'm like, no way, man. Especially if it's the middle of winter time and you got to go utilize the facilities, and then you're going to get some water, cold water. Uh-uh. No way.
You'd be looking for the guy with the truck.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to a more better subject there, because that's going down the wrong road there. Anyway, Stephen Gibbons posted a deal in there, UFOs from Outer Space trailer. That'd be a good video to check out, but check out those other videos. Check out Raymond's video, Alcohol from Donuts. All right, now there's a potential fuel that could be made from a waste product. And if you go out to these donut shops, they won't probably sell them to you, I'm sure, but they'll probably just give you them, or I'm sure he probably wouldn't have just dug in the trash and got them. But either way, you can turn it into something useful. He's not making it to drink or anything like that. He's just trying to see if he can do it and see that if it would have any kind of fuel quality to it. So there's an alternative energy deal. All right. Also over there on the Shaziz Radio chat room, if you look up there, you'll see the three other links that I talked about, which I'll give you a quick rundown again. Is that first Keshi there? I put a question mark behind there. I said Keshi Frog question mark. I don't know. I mean, the guy's sitting there. He's putting himself out in public and saying that he's passing out to the world free energy, but he also tells about all the health benefits and space travel and everything else that this thing is capable of doing, and that this is just one of many units to come that can do a bunch of amazing things, from everything from feeding the world and making you happy and all that kind of stuff. And he even said that you can give one of these models to your enemy and make them sick. So I don't know, man. And then
Steve,
yeah.
Let's just say that the little gray men certainly have a sense of humor.
Apparently they do, man. And you know,
well, humans sent a probe to Pluto, but for years, probably since 1947, aliens have been sending probes to Uranus.
Yeah.
Hey, you want.
Choke me up, man. Ain't nobody sent no probe to mine. Okay, now moving right along, Stephen Greer says...
Oh, he's a gas giant.
Yeah. Stephen Greer says that there are three huge motherships right behind the moon right now, and they're waiting around to get contact and total disclosure, and so there's a controversy between the government and the aliens whether or not to disclose or not disclose, and they're trying to avoid an interplanetary war, universal war or something like that, kind of like the song we played for Zeros. Anyway, the reason why that we haven't had we haven't known they were here yet is because they don't trust us yet, because we are down here acting the fool and fighting amongst each other. And then down at the last third link down there that's in there is a 200 Proofs Earth Is Not a Spinning Ball video book by Eric Dubay, wherein he explains that the Earth is a infinite flat plain with ponds in the middle of ice that have continents and multiple versions of multiple worlds on an infinite plain, and so on and so forth. So these are exciting times we're living in. And our heart and our love goes out to all the individuals having to deal with the monstrosity of a hurricane down in the Mexico direction, and all the people out there in that vicinity. So we need to take all this information that we've all gathered and be ready to try to help them out in any way possible. What do you guys think?
I think we should all be praying for these people down on the coast of Mexico, because they're being exposed to something that we've never seen before on the Earth. So this is going to be catastrophic, and a lot of people are going to die today.
Well,
so my hearts go to them.
I'm hoping that that don't go down that way. I'm trying to hold.
Well, it's going to be inevitable. Inevitable, Shaziz. We get that strength of wind. I'm not saying people, you're going to die. I'm just saying it's going to be inevitable that there's going to be deaths resulting from a 200 mile an hour wind hitting a populated area.
Yeah, I understand. Period. I understand.
That's a no brainer.
So much for his rough one. I have a friend in Tacloban that was there for the Hurricane Yolanda in the Philippines. I think it was December 2 years ago now.
That was a bad one.
Basically, after the wind died down, she walked down the street and saw most of her dead neighbors lying in water.
Man.
That's what's going to happen.
Well, like I said, my prayers are going out for these people today, because we can't even visualize, can't even imagine the strength of a 200-mile-an-hour wind constant over a large area hitting a coastline with that kind of population growth. Guys, we're talking about a catastrophic event in human history right now, and people still aren't grasping the magnitude of what we're experiencing today. So, well, I'm just saying, hey guys, let's all pray for it, because it's not good.
And if the governments of the world are behind any portion of why that storm is so incredibly large, then we, the people, need to find out what's going on in that situation.
Absolutely.
And nip it in
the
bud.
Hold them to account.
That's right.
Yeah, hang them all.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
I was hit by a 25-mile-an-hour wind in 1987 in England. We had a hurricane that came through it. It was like the perfect storm scenario. And I was kind of young at the time. I was doing a paper round on a BMX. And a 125-mile-an-hour gust pulled me off my feet. And the only thing that stopped me getting blown down the street was I held onto a garage door handle. And I was literally sideways against the side of the building. So 200 miles an hour is just insane.
It's insane when it's constant. It's not like it's just a tornado. Yeah. If you're looking at the strength of an F5 tornado over a large area of land and a constant wind, it's going to be, I don't even want to visualize what's going to happen down there, guys. I'll be watching it today and seeing some of the reports coming in. But
I would ask a serious question to the scientific communities. Look at the microwave burst radiation that seems to be at the starting point of all these superstorms over the last number of years.
Yeah, and factor in the fact that the military actually does have a document out there called Owning the Weather by 2025, and people say, you know, okay, they don't do chemtrailing, and it's just a tinfoil hat. You can sit there and watch it with your own two eyes. And, you know, there are companies out there that literally advertise they do weather modifications. So if this storm has any unnatural causes to it, then, like we said, even though we don't advocate violence, these folks need to be held accountable, and this stuff needs to stop, because innocent people, men, women, and children, would be in the path of said destruction, and that's just not that's just not right. That's all there is to it.
But that's really messed up.
Yeah. I can say a whole lot more than that. But
I don't know about owning the weather, but I'm asking people that are in scientific positions with the capabilities to investigate it,
Yeah, that's...
Why has it not been investigated when it is so in our face? That's a question we have to ask.
Well, it seems to me that the mainstream media is working overtime to try to make people such as ourselves look as stupid as possible, so that the average Joe, who is stuck in the bubble and still believes that the Matrix has their best interest at heart, they're doing a pretty good job of creating a ruckus. And I got a stinky feeling, and I'm just saying this because of the three links that I posted up out of there. It's ironic that all of these characters involved in all this deal have a whole lot of subscribers who believe in what they're saying right there, and it seems to be pulling away from the true alternative energy communities, people out there doing actual scientific research and sharing this stuff. You know, if there's a dollar bill to be made behind telling everybody that their Earth is flat, via your book, or that the UFOs are hiding behind the moon via your what do you call those seminars, or that you're now releasing all the free energy that after milking everybody and his brother for as much money as you could potentially get out of their pocket before you gave them the free energy. You won't hear that here at Shaziz Radio Network. We're not going to ask you for any money. We're not going to ask for donations. We're not going to try to sell you anything. All we're going to do is present the information to you in a respectful manner and allow you to take that information and do with it as you choose. If it benefits you and you like what you hear here on ShazizRadio.com or Awake Radio or People to People Radio or all the other networks affiliated, then share this information with everybody out there. It's you, the individual, who makes the future, and you have the choice. That's what the free will is that we mentioned earlier. So,
we're kind of on the line now.
Yeah, we're right there on the edge here, brother.
Well, we're kind of down to the last couple of minutes, so yeah. I'll give you my final thought now.
All right.
I do believe in man-made climate change. But I really wish those men would stop doing it.
Yeah, me too.
And that's about all you need to say on that.
It ain't your car doing it, folks. So, Zarius, sorry about that. You got any final notes there before we wind down, finish up the show?
Sure. Always remember that you are the people and you have the power and... You add mathematics to this planet by your choices and the things that you do. Without you, like I said earlier, like Shaziz was saying about 2 minutes ago, like, without you, the mathematics just wouldn't be the same. Always try to add positive mathematics to make things come out into a peace and love outcome.
Amen, brother.
And have a glorious day.
And what about you, Barry?
Hey, Walt. Everything we talk about on these shows, all those changes that need to happen in our world, well, my feelings are that these have to happen quickly, because I think time is running out for the human race. Period.
I agree.
We cannot continue to ignore the reports around the world, what's happening to our world, guys, and what is all, anything important in life, what does it all mean if we don't have a planet, we don't have a healthy world to live in? And right now, if we don't make these changes quickly, I don't like what I see coming for my children. I don't like to see what's coming in the next 10 years. That's all I'm saying, guys. We got to make the changes quick.
There's an urgency. Brother. I agree with you 100%. You know, we got to do something. I feel the urgency. Everybody out there who pretty much what we call awake, they feel the urgency. Our time's ticking, and the only ones that can fix it, and or at least get it on the right path for the future generations, is you know, we the people. So with that said, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Probably not going to be a Knights of the Round Table in the morning unless somebody else runs the show, because I'm going to be out of town, but we'll make up for it on the next go. So with that said, everybody, thanks and peace and love. Take care.
What's going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office, and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission. To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hey, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God I still got my hair! And what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course! Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars! This is truly amazing. portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
Flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt?
How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
She's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
Is it? This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Operator, give me the number for 911.